There's one. Set for stun.
Three guys sitting in a dark room that smells like bad cucumbers.
Don't make me angry. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
Inconceivable!
Now featuring 11. 11 listeners.
This is me.
You're
funny,
scumbag. Get on your face and give me 25.
This is the Unique Geek.
And welcome to another edition of 50 Days of DragonCon. This is John. I'm your host of the 50 Days of DragonCon thingy, where it goes for 50 days of podcast things and stuff and words that come out of my mouth. And Lee's here, and she's over there. Hi, Lee.
Hi. You're so funny because, you know, I should be the one that's exhausted and worried and stressed out. And you're the one that, you know, you're sounding like.
Oh, you know me. I'm a little bit of a worrywart. Worried wart.
Don't be a worried wart. This is going to be an awesome year.
Worried wart.
Worried wart.
Yeah, it is. And
it's going to be nerve wracking, but it's also going to be an awesome year.
Yeah, of course it will be. It always is. And it always any new guest announcements?
We've gotten not a lot of new guest announcements. We've got some people from Spartacus coming now. And we've got a lot of voiceover people, animation voices coming. Jessica DeCiccio, I'm hoping I'm pronouncing that correctly. Nope, that's not it. We've got a lot of puppet people. Skylar Nowinski is also coming. He's an actor and musician, sorry. But we've got some more puppet people coming. We like puppets. We talked about puppets a lot. Kaylin Rainbow Keir. Kit Leffler. I really hope I'm not like killing your.
Oh, they're not going to have any idea that you've even said that.
Thank God. I hope not. Davey T. Steinman. So we've got a lot of really cool, you know, a lot of puppet people coming and all of that. I mean, I think what it's so cool when we have some of those people coming too, because it's not just all about the sci-fi fandoms. We are geeks in many, many ways, and we're also, as you've heard, we've had skeptics on, so we're geeks with that.
Oh, yeah, skeptics.
And we're also what?
Keep going.
Well, and I would say we're also geeks with like real stuff too, and
real
one
stuff.
Of those is science.
Science.
Science. And
I feel like I'm being segued to.
There you are, terribly,
what?
But we are doing our best.
Who's
so, yeah,
that? I heard somebody in the background.
This is Steven, who you will better know as not Jonathan Colton, although he's in all those DragonCon TV things as Jonathan Colton, or people think he's Jonathan Colton. And he is the new director of the Science Track. Hi, Steven.
Hi. Thank you all for having me on.
Well, thank you for being on. So, Science Track.
Yes.
That
is the right answer.
Yeah. So what is it? What are you doing in science that isn't being done somewhere else in the con?
Right. Well, some things that are, I guess, next door to the things that are going on at the con. I feel like there are a lot of fandom tracks that focus on specific fandoms or shows and will occasionally touch on sciencey aspects of those. We're sort of coming at it from the aspect of here's science, and occasionally we will talk about science that shows up in science fiction.
Okay.
So we're more, I guess, science fact-based, although we're at Dragon Con because we also happen to love things like science fiction and fantasy.
What?
So, I know, crazy, right?
Well, and actually we can prove this because we talked about it at one of the first directors' meetings about doing a Science of Fringe panel, and it's now going to be the Science of Fringe and Lost and other things.
Yes.
And so that's going to go on. So that's a joint panel with Science and Extract.
Yes.
And
oh, nice.
John, you can go and find out exactly how wrong Lost and Fringe got it.
Well, I don't need to go there to figure that out.
No, okay. Just letting you know.
Yes, fun, but occasionally not so correct. But that's okay.
Yes.
Fun. Yeah. We like fun.
Well, you know, I know that all the colors in the world change if I go to a different universe or different whatever.
That's true. Earth. That helps you keep track. That in airships.
Yes, that in airships, exactly. For whatever reason, steampunk has taken real hold in the alternate Earth.
Yeah, I feel like the assumption is that steampunk really was supposed to take over, but through some sort of tragic accident that only affected our timeline, we didn't get real steampunk.
So, no. So you're the new director. How did you get roped? I mean, do this labor of love.
Nice.
It was a slow and gentle slide because I've never actually been to Dragon Con just to attend it.
I thought you were going to stop the sentence at I've never actually been to Dragon Con. I'm like,
I'm just going to see
really
how this
weird.
Goes. I hope it goes okay. No, I moved to Huntsville a while back in Alabama, and I had some friends who said, hey, you've got a theater background. We work with essentially the AV people, the people doing lighting and sound and electronic kind of things for the convention, the technical operations. Want to come hang out with us for a weekend? I'm like, sure, that sounds like fun. So started coming to Dragon Con to volunteer. And after a while, the science track discovered that Tech Ops had a person with a physics background, me, there, because that's my schooling and my training and kind of what I do for a living. And they said, hey, do you want to come give a talk? And I said, sure, maybe. And I shifted over to talking about physics and robotics and space and all those kinds of things. So because I had this background volunteering with Tech Ops and knew a number of people sort of in the organization, mm-hmm. and I had been doing science kind of things, when they needed a new science track director, they came to me and said, you're dumb enough to say yes, aren't you? And I said, why, yes, I am.
Well... That is, that's probably, actually,
I'm
the
sorry,
easiest way that somebody's ever gotten. It seems to me like you actually had a choice. Others, it seems like, have not.
Well, yeah, it's sort of like I've done a lot of work with Brian Richardson from Videography, who originally wasn't on Videography. He was on Tech Ops, and we were just doing fun videos.
Right.
And there was a meeting one time, and they said, so meet our new director of Videography, Brian Richardson. And Brian said, huh?
Right, yeah, he told that story. Huh? He's told that story a couple times here, and yeah, every time it's like, so you basically did something that was good, and therefore now you're stuck with the job.
Right,
you do
it's
it
much,
once.
It's much
you're stuck
like
with
real
it.
World.
Yes,
it's much like a real world work situation. Oh, you do that? Well, guess what you get.
Right,
you're like, oh, wait a minute.
Oh, you meant real world, not the MTV series. Okay.
No,
not
Cheetah. They don't do anything well there. So obviously, let's also address, you're in a lot of the videos that we see while we're waiting in line or sitting in the rooms on our butts. Mm-hmm. How's that going for you? Have you gotten any movie offers yet? Or
No movie offers yet.
Darn.
That was another of those weird cases of synchronicity, because I joined up with Tech Ops and then they started making videos, and I was friends with Brian and some of the others, and they needed people who were willing to get in front of the camera. And as I mentioned, I've got this theater background, which means my sense of shame was burned away a long time ago. So I was like, yeah, sure, I'll be seen climbing onto the bed with an alien. That sounds like a thing I'll do. And so it became this weird thing where I started being recognized, and that was awesome and weird at the same time.
All right. Well, that's obviously the same way that you became a director. Happened to be showing up at the right time or wrong time, I guess, depending on your
And did not say no immediately.
Right.
You know, show me on the video where the bad man filmed you. I had a case, this was about 4 or 5 years ago, when I got into the elevator in the Marriott, and the actor Scott Adsit was in there. He is an awesome improv actor. Most people would know him as Pete Hornburg from 30 Rock.
Mm-hmm.
He's a Second City alum, done wonderful work. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's Scott Adsit. I'm going to be cool. I'm not going to bother him. No problem. A bunch of more people get on the elevator, and someone, as they're getting off, turns around and says, hey, I've seen your videos. You're famous. And I'm like, I'm standing in front of a guy who's on a national NBC sitcom and is a real actor. And mm-hmm. sure, thank you very much.
Yeah. Thank you.
Welcome to Dragon Con.
Yeah, Scott Adsit, I've had the pleasure of meeting him a couple of times. He's a very down to earth guy too. He's not.
Yeah, I had the chance later in the convention. I saw him and was able to go up to him and say, "I just really enjoy your work. I'm so glad you're here. Thank you so much."
Yeah, he's not full of himself or anything. So it's really, actually, you know what? That's true of I would say 98% of the guests that come to Dragon Con anyway.
But, oh yeah.
So, I would agree. So tell us a little bit about the science track. What kind of, what guests do you have this year? And then we'll go into what your actual, some of the panels are.
Yeah. What am I making the guests do? How am I making them dance for my amusement?
That's science. Monkey
big
dance.
Name guest that we've got this year. And I am incredibly excited about it, is that we have Paul Zaloom, who is better known as Beekman from Beekman's World. You know, he's done science outreach on Beekman's World. He does a lot of puppetry and puppet shows. So Bo Brown, the puppet track director, and I are very excited to have him doing a bunch of stuff at Con and being on panels and such. So I expect there'll be a lot of people very excited. You know, it's sort of like Bill Nye or Neil deGrasse Tyson. You know, here is someone who has been a big influence in a lot of people's appreciation of science. So I'm excited he's coming.
That's cool. That's very cool.
We've got Annalene Newitz, who is the editor-in-chief of IO9. So she is doing a lot of science and science reporting sort of at that boundary into science fiction, and has a great book about how humans are going to survive whatever the coming apocalypse is, called Scatter, Adapt, and Remember. So, of course, she gets to talk about how we're all going to die.
Oh, well, that's a happy subject.
Hey.
Well, it's the science track. Occasionally, we have to talk about how we're all doomed.
Well, yeah, I mean, I would hope that we're not doomed. You know, I'd like to give my dooming to, you know, my child's child. Right. That way I'm probably gone. Well, actually, my child's child's child. That way I am gone already. I've lived my life. They can deal with it.
Kick that can down the road.
Yes.
Well, it's sort of like one of our How the Earth is Trying to Kill You panels. It's sort of like a geologist, an infectious disease specialist, and walk into a panel and tell you how we're all going to die.
Come on, that'll be a lot of fun.
Well, you know, actually, one of the ways you're going to die is all the folks that you're bumping into at Con. So, you know,
right.
You got that.
Yeah, I'm waiting for Dr. Samar, who's the infectious disease specialist for Mount Sinai, to start talking about disease vectors moving through Dragon Con.
Oh, we know Patient Zero. Because we have friends of ours who on, is it the last day of the con or the day before, or Sunday?
I think it was Sunday night.
Yeah. So Sunday night they do around and they try to do the night of 1,000 fist bumps. So they basically try to fist bump 1,000 people. And
oh,
I'm like,
gosh.
Dear God in heaven, you are patient zero.
Right. And of
this
course,
is terrible.
You couldn't do it like Friday when, you know, everyone is still kind of.
No,
not
that's just
all
disgusting.
Over the place. No,
don't touch that many people.
Sunday. Yep.
By the last night of con, no one has an immune system left. They're all tired and strung out, and it's not good.
Yeah, no, don't do that. Nasty, nasty, no. Yeah, sorry.
Wolverine would have
no,
a hard time not catching something from a con, so.
Yeah.
Yeah. So who else do you got?
Who else have I got? So I've got just a whole passel of scientists. I've got Dr. Ray Burke, who she is a chemist who had a thing that went viral earlier this year when, for the American Chemical Society, she put together a video explaining how you would make death cologne. So the zombie apocalypse has happened and you want to smell like a dead person so the zombies don't get you. And she talked about the chemicals that would go into that. And that, like I said, went viral. Mm-hmm. The video was passed around. She got mentioned on Saturday Night Live. So
it's
all amazing. We're going to have Dr. Pamela Gay back again. She is an astronomer who is the director of CosmoQuest, an awesome citizen science project that does things like moon mapping and crater finding and just all kinds of really neat research opportunities that are open to the public, to anybody who wants to play along. I've got all kinds of people coming. I'm super excited about it. I've got a bunch of marine biologists coming. Some from the Georgia Aquarium. We have David Schiffman, who is Why Sharks Matter on Twitter and has so many Twitter followers. At this point, during Shark Week, he gets a lot of media requests and attention. He was on NPR this past weekend. And the conservation lab that he does research at actually got some funding from Sharknado 2 from their Indiegogo campaign.
Uh-huh.
So he's been partially funded by Sharknado to study sharks.
Yay!
So, of course, I'm going to lock a bunch of those people in a room on Saturday night, and they're going to have to watch Sharknado and discuss the science.
Now that's just – I love Sharknado. Why are you making fun of Sharknado?
That's not a serious thing. Please tell me that's not a serious thing.
That is an absolute serious thing.
Oh, my Lord.
I love Sharknado. Sharknado and Sharknado 2 have made me so happy in my life.
Why would
I don't want to take that away from you, but their science is really not good. But
well,
then,
no,
you know,
did you watch the movie?
Ian's Earring with a Chainsaw.
Well,
Ian's Earring with a Chainsaw, in the first one, it doesn't matter to me. I don't know him. In the first one, he gets bitten, and yet he still comes out fully dressed, like a full person.
Yeah.
He got bitten in half. My son was watching it with me, and he was just like, I cannot believe you're watching this. I'm like, shut up. Go away. And then he would point out all these things.
It's Tara Reid that that's also, she's the one who then said, oh, it's possible. It could happen.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, no.
Well, you might have been drinking a little too much.
So one of the scientists who's going to be coming, Mika McKinnon, she has done a lot of consulting for science fiction shows and things like that. She was one of the scientists involved in helping out and fact-checking for a lot of the Stargate TV shows. And she admitted to me, I think it was last year, she said that about a year before she got a call from some folks about the Sci-Fi Channel asking about hurricane and tornado formation and all these kinds of things, and could it suck up marine life? And it is possible she helped plant the seed for Sharknado.
Good.
Well,
thank her.
But how?
I love her.
How many sharks are? Oh, never mind.
No. This is implausible, and here's the things. But here's some of the facts about how these weather patterns form, and it'd have to be this strong if it was actually going to suck up anything, but it wouldn't suck up much. And they're like, okay, thank you. And then 1 year later, Sharknado.
Right. Sharknado. And let's assume that I'm doing your whole panel for you. That the tornado actually was strong enough to carry that many sharks and them not die, and but there's no destruction going on elsewhere. I mean, it would seem like, oh, never mind.
It's very localized. It's a very localized thing. You just don't understand shark weather.
John, sharks, flying sharks.
Does anybody know if there's...
My heart grows three sizes too big. Flying sharks.
Does anybody know if there's actually an iPhone app or an Android app that names sci-fi's movies? It seems like that's something that someone should have done by now.
No, I did do a bumper a while back saying, was this a movie from the 1950s or an actual sci-fi movie? And they're surprisingly hard to differentiate.
Oh,
I mean, the part where you have like Mecha Shark versus Mega Shark from the Sci-Fi Channel.
Yes. Yes. Actually, that's a good point. That is a good point. So do you have any other like special events that you're doing?
I've got a
couple of them. Besides torturing scientists. Go on.
Yes, besides torturing scientists. Well, we're actually going to torture scientists two nights in a row. Saturday night is the Bad Science of Sci-Fi Movies with special guest star Sharknado. Sunday night, we're doing a science variety show. We've got science puppetry. We have the KSU Tellers, who are an acting troupe from KSU that have a lot of 1 and 2 minute short skits involving science. And we've got six of our participants, the guests and pros on our track, who are going to take part in the Sulfur X Science Show, where they have to do PowerPoint karaoke. They're going to have to give a scientific talk to a set of PowerPoint slides they have never seen before.
Oh, that's awesome.
And the three of them that do the best then have to go through a quiz show where they have to guess whether a scientific theory being described to them is an internet made-up thing or something that people actually believed at one point, actual science-type people believed.
Oh, that is cruel and awesome.
Yes, that too is remarkably hard to do. And then we're going to have some science-themed reading. We've got Amber Nash, who's known as Pam from Archer, and a bunch of the people who are into the theater and live lit scene in Atlanta who are going to be doing science readings. So 2 hours of just a whole lot of fun. I'm very excited about that.
That sounds very cool. And you said that Sunday night?
Sunday night.
At what time?
10 to 12 at night.
And is it in your track room or is it elsewhere?
It's going to be in the Hilton, I believe the Grand Ballroom East. We're going to put up signs and it's going to be on the website and all those kinds of things. I've sort of done more science entertainment in the evenings because Friday night at 10, we're doing our panel for those who are 18 and up called Nature is Kinkier Than You, where we're going to get to talk about all the ways in which sex in the animal kingdom is really disturbing.
That is pretty awesome. That is really awesome. Wow, you have got a lot of cool panels
See?
Going on. Yeah,
thank you.
Yes, they're not all just hardcore science.
We do have those because I think that's an important part of it. But I want there to be a mix of things. So yeah, we're going to have a talk on fusion. Yes, we're going to talk about quantum mechanics and the multiverse. But we're also going to talk about the science of Pacific Rim, and we're also going to talk about animal reproduction.
That is the science of Pacific Rim. That's pretty cool. I would love. What time's that at? Do you know?
That's actually one of mine, and I'm going to be doing that Friday at 1 p.m.
Friday at 1 p.m. Oh, that's cool. Lee, am I doing anything at that time? She knows where.
I don't remember.
Okay.
She can't keep track at this point.
I think you are, actually.
Oh, is that Bad Men? That might be Bad Men.
Yeah, I think that's Bad Men. Okay. Yeah.
Ooh.
Yes.
I'm trying to find out.
What else do you got going? Do you have any dances? Are you doing some science dances?
We're not doing science dances.
Hold on a second. You're okay. Making fun of me for Sharknado, John.
Yes.
But you want to do a science dance?
Well,
what would you do?
It'd be Thomas Dolby. Let's see.
Blinded Me with Science. The only
that'd be
song
it played over and over again for 2 hours straight.
Right. No, we've in the past had things like the Mad Scientist Ball that the Space and Science track have done. Mm-hmm. But given that there are so many parties going on.
No, there aren't. There's none.
Yeah.
Zero.
Yeah. Just a few. I really wanted to do something a little different with the stuff on the science track just to provide an alternative. I enjoy a lot of the parties. I have a great time going to them. So no knock on those. But I did want to have something that would still be entertaining, but a little different than the parties that the other tracks were throwing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, and we're all antisocial on the science track.
Oh, yeah, it certainly sounds that way. I mean, obviously.
What's, you can tell the outgoing scientist because he stares at your shoes instead of his. Or hers, really.
Nice. Nice. I
didn't giggle at that.
You're a tough crowd. You're still mad about
Sharknado. I totally was giggling. I just hit mute, so I didn't welcome over the thing.
Now, do you have anything geared towards the little kitties?
Yes. So we're going to have actually a couple of different things. Sunday morning from 10 to 12:30 in the Sheraton Atlanta Ballroom, we're doing an all-ages hands-on science thing. It's the Science Power Hour. 12 science experiments for you to try to do in 1 hour. So Ooh. We're going to pull DNA out of strawberries. We're going to see if your breath is acidic or basic. In other words, are you an alien or a predator? We're going to fold paper into DNA. We're going to make slime. We're going to have a hoverboard. We're going to have liquid nitrogen ice cream. All the things are going to be happening.
That sounds really cool. Now, is there a supply cost for that, or is it just...
You mean for the attendees? No. Okay. I'm doing a little fundraising to try to cover supplies, which is going well, thankfully. And I've got a lot of scientists and science educators who are donating their time. So we're going to manage to do this so that anybody can come in and not have to pay for the experience, which I'm excited about.
And you said that's Sunday morning, right?
That is Sunday morning, 10 to 12:30.
And in your track room for that one?
That's going to be in the Sheraton Atlanta Ballroom. It's down on the bottom level, the same level where registration tends to happen. But instead of going straight like for registration, you turn left and then it will be on your right. Again, we know these things can be hard to find, so signs will be going up everywhere.
Okay, cool. And that's a good, that's actually a good time for the kiddies because, mom and dad would have to probably think. So maybe it might not be. Anyway.
You never know if that would really work. Yeah.
Just lead them along.
I think Monday morning would be worse, though.
Oh, right? Yeah.
That'd be horrible. and just torturous.
Yes.
So anything else for the kids, or is that it? You said, eh, that's it.
Well, I've also, I've sort of been farming scientists out, sort of like Emily Newitz and I are headed over to Lee for the Fringe and Warehouse 13 and Person of Interest and all of that kind of panel. I've got someone who's coming. Her name is Liz Heineke. She has a website called The Kitchen Pantry Scientist, where she has all kinds of experiments that you can do with stuff in your kitchen. And she's going to be doing a panel with the YA Lit track on science in YA literature and talking about some of that and you know, talking about science in an accessible way at not a dumbed down level, but at a kid and young adult level.
Okay. Now, do you have any other crossover panels besides that one?
Oh, my gosh. We have several. I farmed some scientists out to Q on the alternate history track. I think they're doing a science of steampunk. How much of the science in steampunk could really have happened?
Yeah.
Who else do I got? Oh, I've got Eric Spana, who is a biologist from Duke University. And Dr. Spana, he emailed me after he got accepted and said, by the way, have you ever played Mass Effect? I really enjoy that. And it's clear that the developers did a really good job of world building because the biology of the alien races really makes a lot of sense. I was like, I bet there's some people who would like to hear you talk about that. So they're going to be doing a world building and science of Mass Effect over on the video game track.
Oh, that's great. And Mass Effect did a great job of world building, too, I must say. That I picked it up way late after everyone had already told everyone how awesome it was, and no, they do a great job. I didn't obviously pay much attention to the structure of any of the aliens, but I do think that they did a great job. What am I talking about? Anyway, back to you.
Well,
I love
how
we do things.
That train was headed right to a wall, but go on.
That's okay. So sometimes you just got to let things crash and then rebuild from the rubble.
Speaking of which, you farmed out some scientists to Apocalypse. Go on.
Yes. Yeah, they're going to be doing an undead panel. One of the things that I like to try to do is bring in people who, yes, are scientists and science communicators and very interested in science, but also, like I said, enjoy science fiction and fantasy. I think sometimes you can get a, well, the science in that is wrong and that's dumb approach. And that's not always the best approach. I really like to bring in people who are enthusiastic about this kind of media and who will say, yeah, okay, this science isn't quite right, but here's science that's kind of related that is, and we can see why they did that. And if you sort of take this leap of faith, you know, we're doing a science of Star Wars panel. And if you really want to strictly talk about it, you can be like, well, there is no science in Star Wars, but there are scientific concepts that sort of sidle up next to Star Wars and that Star Wars can spark a conversation about. So I've sent some Star Wars loving scientists over that way.
So are they going to explain what a parsec is for once and for all?
Hand wave a little bit of that. Maybe go through how much energy it would really take to blow up a planet. a whole lot.
Well, you know, they worked for at least a week on that, on the Death Star. So, you know,
yeah. Yeah, blowing up planets would be really cool, but it turns out that planets, at least rocky planets like we live on, are really massive and hard to truly get rid of. I mean, you can make it uninhabitable. That's not too hard, but really destroying the planet itself turns out to be difficult.
Well, I mean, how long would it take you to make it uninhabitable, though? I mean, it would seem like that even takes a little while.
Depends on, you know, are you going to let me drop rocks on it from space or possibly have a bunch of nuclear bombs that I set up. We did a pretty good job of getting rid of the dinosaurs of the rock from space.
Yeah. I mean, but
I guess
we tried for a while, you know.
The cockroaches will probably still be there.
Ew.
Planet of the Cockroach. That's the sequel to Planet of the Apes.
Well, it's actually a spinoff. They're doing spinoffs much like Star Wars is now.
Right.
They're doing little one-offs. Yeah.
Yeah. Although I guess it's Planet of the Apes.
Planet of the what?
Apes plus horses.
Oh, yes, that's true.
Hey, we need those horses, man.
Yeah.
That was an awesome show. So, anyway, Lee, why don't you ask your question that you normally ask about this
point
in time?
Okay, so if everything is going well, All the beakers are bubbling like they should be. Mm-hmm. Nothing has blown up that wasn't supposed to blow up. Some miracle, have 2 hours that you can go and do something else at con. You could actually see a panel and enjoy it outside of your track room. What would you like to go see?
Oh, gosh. Because there's so much going on. I probably...
And you have so much time.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, yeah. That's the other part.
Probably what I would do is, instead of a panel, I would take advantage of the time and do some cosplay. That's something that I started doing kind of last year, and then this year it's like, no, I will have no time. Because, I don't know if either of you have watched the animated series The Legend of Korra.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
Yeah, so they have an adult airbender type. So he's got a bald head and a goatee, and he has arrows on his head and his hands, and I can dress like him. So with the help of a good friend of mine, Renee White, she is an awesome costume type maker and makeup person. So did the arrows on my head and my goatee and all of that. And I had the robes and walked around, and small kids were delighted to see me, which was one of the really nice benefits. But that's one of those costumes that takes an hour or so of prep because of the airbrushed makeup and the goatee extensions and things like that. And there's just not going to be any time in my schedule this year to do anything like that. So that's, I have sacrificed costuming for science.
Well, as people often do. I mean, it's, you know, an old saying, you know, if not for costuming, there would be no science, right? Or there'd be no science if not for costuming. That's what I just said.
Exactly. I think that's correct. That's definitely something Ben Franklin said, or possibly Mark Twain.
Yeah. I believe you're right. Yeah. Maybe Mark Twain. You're right. Okay. So, let me ask you my final question.
Okay.
Which is, if you had your choice of only one planet that you had to live on, besides Earth, what planet would you want to live on and why? Let's assume that you just don't die.
Yes. I was going to say the one that would be the easiest would be Mars, because it's the one that was kind of like Earth before, and you might actually be able to terraform it in the Firefly kind of sense of the word to make it habitable. I have always been fascinated by Jupiter. You know, here's this huge gas planet that we know some things about, but not a lot of things. It's got a bunch of moon systems. I would just love to explore Jupiter and its moons.
Oh, sounds great. Uh-huh. And plus, you could eat lots of Mexican and no one would know.
Especially if I'm the only one there.
Well, that's true, too. There is that. But there is always an eye of Sauron looking upon you.
Yeah,
one
that's
giant
true.
Eye.
John,
well,
you
see,
often
that's
scare me.
That's the hurricane that you need to make a Sharknado occur.
Oh, the red spot.
Yeah, so
the
now,
red spot is actually space sharks.
Space sharks, exactly.
I think this is a movie I could pitch, Space Sharks.
Why? Sure, why not?
Look, every movie series, if it goes long enough, eventually goes to space, especially if it's any kind of sort of horror kind of thing. You know, Freddy goes to space, Jason goes to space, everybody goes to space. Occasionally they fight predators. Eventually Sharknado will go to space.
There's going to be a Sharknado 3, so you need to deal.
Lord of the Rings, the Eye of Space. Yeah.
Yes.
No. Just Sharknado.
So, okay. Just
you know they're doing...
I'm really glad I could bring the gospel of Sharknado to the podcast.
Well, I appreciate it, and now she won't shut up for like 12 days.
Never. And John, they're doing Sharknado 2, the second one. They're going to actually show it in theaters for one special night.
Oh.
I'm trying to get my husband to take me on a date night.
That is certainly a special night, yes.
And he's saying that that's not acceptable.
Well, I wonder why.
Yeah, make him prove his love. Make him take you.
That's what I'm trying to do.
If you loved me, you would take me to this horrible movie.
If you
loved
me, you'd take me to
this. Well, you know, there are limits to love, sweetie.
No!
All right, Steve. Well, thank you very much for joining us. I really appreciate you taking the time out of your busy schedule. I'm sure that... Let me ask you, how panicked are you right at this point? That someone...
I don't know. I think I've passed beyond to the land of no panic.
Okay.
Yay!
I don't know if this is ignorance or foolish overconfidence, but things are mostly on track. I figure it's all going to wait to explode once I get to the convention. But until then, things are okay.
I will delude myself into thinking that everything is fine. Nothing is going to change.
Yes. I'm very tempted. There's a podcast that I really, really enjoy. It's sort of in the style of the old radio dramas called Night Vale.
Oh, yes.
Yes, we love Night Vale.
I love Night Vale. And they have a flask that I have been tempted to get as sort of the slogan for Dragon Con, and that is, if you see something, say nothing and drink to forget.
Drink to forget. My other favorite is, there is no dog park.
Don't yes.
Go into the dog park. Don't talk about the dog park.
Yes, we're going to have a Night Vale bumper this year for DCTV.
Ooh, oh, great. That's
someone
awesome.
Someone asked a dog park question.
That's awesome.
Yay, dog park.
There was actually one other thing that just popped into my mind when you said that. That's what I was going to say. Where is your track? Because we've talked about where your track room is, or we're talking about your track room a lot, but never once did we say where it was.
It is Hilton Room 202. That's up one floor in the Hilton from street level. If you come in by the coffee shop, there is an escalator that takes you up to a little wing where there are a bunch of track rooms. So mine is 202 over there by the EFF track and podcasting and Skep track.
Yep. You know, and if you are coming from the Marriott to the Hilton, as soon as you cross the Sky Bridge, go towards the right, and you will see all those little rooms down that kind of like little tiny hallway. And yep. They're all right there.
Cool. And where can people find more information on your track and like on the Twitters or on the Facebooks? And any information, anything that you're doing personally that people might find of interest?
What am I doing personally that's not the convention right now? So, yes, you can find us on the web. There is science.dragoncon.org. We're updating things there, and we've got interviews with some of our guests and pros that we're running ahead of the convention. You can find us at Twitter at DeconSciTrack, at DeconSciTrack, and on Facebook as DeconSciTrack. We actually have... I don't know what the marketers would call that. What is that? Brand synergy or something like that?
Sure. We'll go with that.
Yes. And so we're pushing information out on Twitter and Facebook and updating the science page at science.dragoncon.org. And I am occasionally wibbling about on Twitter as at Sargent, S-A-R-G-E-N-T, sort of like John Singer Sargent. And really, I've mainly been doing the convention.
Now, you actually got Sargent?
Yes, I had some friends that jumped on Twitter very early, and I went with them. And that was long before Twitter exploded like it did. So I have this actual thing that I chose instead of, you know, at Stephen Grenade 17 or something.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually crazy that you got that. So congratulations.
Thank you. It's a geek badge of honor.
It's yeah. What do you know what year or what year? What month you joined? I would imagine it to be somewhere around 2009, right?
I do not remember now. I have been on there, it seems like forever. You know, because it was one of those things that I joined because people, like I said, my friends were joining, and oh, here, Twitter will tell me, July 2007.
Oh, 2007. Oh, okay. Wow. Seems, because yes. I think it was 2009 when it blew up. I was actually just going to look to see where...
When it was all over everything?
Yes, yeah. I think, you know, obviously, I think most of us geeks kind of knew about it in advance. We saw it, and then I'm sure it was one Hollywood person that suddenly... It might have even been, what's his nose? That Austin guy.
Whatever
his name is. You know who I'm
Austin
talking about.
Austin Powers.
No. The
Austin Translation.
No, Austin he was Powell. Married to the lady that was married to Bruce Willis. The
what's Demi Moore was married Kutcher. To Bruce Willis.
Ashton, not Austin. Ashton Kutcher. Yeah. Kutcher? Why am I saying Kutcher? Kutcher, whatever. Anyway, so Stephen, how you doing?
How nervous welcome, are you about DragonCon? I think Stephen and I need to ask you some questions.
Right. clearly the stress is overwhelming.
Could have been drinking. I don't know. But anyway, so Stephen, thank you so much for joining us tonight again. And be sure everyone to check out the science track over there at DragonCon, like as though anybody that's listening to this isn't going to DragonCon. It's a ridiculous thing to even think. Anyway, check out the science track, and until next time, for Stephen and Lee, this is John saying peace.
Bye. Sharknado.
No, Sharknado.
Yes.
This has been a production of The Unique Geek. To leave a comment or suggestion, call us at 813-3210-TUG or email us at thegeeks@theuniquegeek.com. Follow The Geeks on Twitter @TheUniqueGeek. Visit our listserv at listserv.theuniquegeek.com. This podcast is distributed under a Creative Commons share alike non-commercial license.